2 Chronicles 16:9. That's a sweet sound. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from heaven henceforth thou shalt have wars. That was to King Asa. You may be seated. I want to preach about having a ready heart for God's next move. Having a ready heart for God's next move. Whether that's you find yourself with a homeless man next to you on a plane, or whether that's a lost man comes up to you at work, or whatever that may be, you don't know what God's next move is, but he has plans for you and you alone. Every man in here, there's none like him, and lady, none like you. God has something and planned for you, and you alone. I guarantee you there's people on your heart that are lost that I've never met. Every man in here and woman, you know somebody none of the rest of us do, and they're not ready. And so with that thought in mind, we're going to go to Daniel. I'm going to stop first and read another verse before we get there. We're going to Daniel, and I'd like to preach on this subject, a big God for a broken boy. A big God for a broken boy. It tells us, I don't hardly know where to start. About to get happy. Long before Daniel, we had Hezekiah, and Hezekiah would make a blunder. These ambassadors from Babylon came, and he must have been feeling pretty prideful that day. Like most men, when somebody comes to your house, we're such dummies. Every one of us open the gun safe, don't we? Look at this right here. Look at this right here. Well, he's going to show them everything God has given them. And God's going to take exception to it and not like it. And it's going to cost him. And this is what the Lord declares through his prophet Isaiah to him. I'm going to stop and read this in Kings, and then we're going to Daniel, okay? It's chapter 20, verse 16 of 2 Kings. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, he does what anybody does, he accepts the word of God. Good is the word of the Lord, which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? He was thankful that God held back his wrath just to what he did. But he made a promise, and God keeps his promises. His bloodline would be pulled out and made into eunuchs. Praise God, God would set one aside to make another promise true. He had to keep one, not a eunuch, because it had to get all the way down to Jesus. Lord set one aside. The Bible tells us who it was, but I don't remember right off the bat, and it's not really part of tonight's message, because all the rest of them were going to be hauled out. Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, that's Josiah's grandson that refused to do right by God, his worshiping idols, and Josiah was the last great king. And here under Jehoiakim, he's not doing right. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And a king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. It's not a pleasant thing. So in the days leading up to Nebuchadnezzar coming and sieging Jerusalem, they did not go without warning. And this same Jehoiakim, there was a famous preacher that would preach his guts out and nobody would get right, by the name of Jeremiah. You could read in chapter 25, 26, and 27, he stood and preached and preached and preached, and they wanted to put him to death. He had one friend that kept him from being put to death. There was another old boy, they were going to put him to death. He ran down to Egypt. Jeremiah stood his ground, and God put somebody in between them. You can read about the same events. And he's a-telling, he started preaching for them to turn to Babylon. He started saying, side with Babylon. Don't do no good to side with Judah if they're worshiping other gods. He said, God has a servant, his servant Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar ain't even saved yet when he's preaching that. He ain't even saved yet. God's true. He never had a single local get saved, but he knew that God was going to save him a Gentile, and he was going to make a difference. Here they come. First siege of the city. They left the city intact, but they marched out the king, all the nobles. You can read about it in Kings and Chronicles. It said anybody of value got marched out. If you was good at your job, you got marched out. All the royal bloodline, they marched out. And the devil would cackle because they would take and they'd castrate the boys. The devil would cackle. Same tactics today. He ain't changed nothing. You see, when they do that, we're country people. You got a stud horse that bucks and kicks. You want to gentle him up for a ride and you geld him. You got a bull that won't let you near the cows. You only need one bull. The rest of them become steers for hamburgers. You got a dog that won't stay home. You do that, he'll stay on the porch. You got old Tomcat going out scrapping. He won't stay gone no more. My cousins had an old cat named Smokey. He didn't quite clear the barbed wire fence after they put him back together. He was no longer spunky. But with men, it does the same thing. And remember, these are young men, likely men. All these men, these young men would be your best, your straight-A high school students of Judah. They marched them out. Every one of these kids would be fit for a scholarship, and they'd be from good families. They'd be excellent ball players. Just going to be fine men in society. And they would change that. It does not make you a man. Praise God for that. There's men and there's women, and you're a man or a woman on the cellular level. Every set of chromosomes in every cell of your body tells what you are. They can paint it up all they want, but they can pluck a hair and it'll say boy or girl. But what they can do by doing that to them is they cut off the hormones that make them strong. They cut off the hormones that make them aggressive, cause their voices deep and their beards and chest hair to grow. And so they're robbing them of the future they would have had. And that is an ultimate mental warfare, because now when the king of a country visits there, all the other family members of the other kings they've conquered, you see their development has been paused. And that they're, it takes away the aggression. And it's mental warfare. This is the children of Turkey. This is the children of, you know, Moab. This is the children of Judah. You take them through your palace, and all your butlers and servants are the princes of a country. Devil's still doing that today. We got to fight that. They use chemicals now, same difference. They want to keep your children from being what they can be. So he's physically been arrested. These young men have lost their future. If they were going to go play college football, that just got stopped. Now they are a slave, a POW. And their bodies have been altered without any say-so of them. And they're put in a 3-year school to become the best of the best servants for the royal house. That's what just happened to them. And they're going to strip them of everything they've ever been taught. You know, they're still trying to do that in colleges. They're still trying to do that in colleges. They tried to do it when I went, and that's knocking on 15, 20 years ago. It sure is hard to pass a test where the correct answer for them on the test is something you don't even believe in. And I know it down to my very core, because I got a Holy Ghost that while they're saying this many years ago this happened, my Holy Ghost is saying, I made it. I made it. There wasn't nothing made that I didn't make, amen. Amen. They'll tell you nobody modern believes that. The pastor where I go up in Alaska, he has a master's degree from a state college of biology, and he's a fundamental independent preacher, amen. Oh, I didn't mean to get into this, but Louis Pasteur, you might recognize his name. He invented pasteurization of milk. He's famous for starting microbiology. They said if they know a little bit of biology, they don't believe in God. If they know a lot of biology, they absolutely believe in God. So here they are. They're being stripped of everything. They're even going to take their names. They won't take any reminder of where they come from. I got to get back up here to my list of names. I'll fumble that for sure if I rattle them off. We'll need you to stand up for me as I call you. Young Mr. Daniel, will you stand up for me? Your knee popped.
That ain't all.
It means God is my judge. That's what his name means. God is my judge. They took that from him. They said he'll never be called that again in public. Only around them precious few that hold on to their faith. Everywhere else these Beltishes are. The Prince of Baal. Baal is a fire god. I don't remember who I read after said he represents biology and evolution and all that. Just basically you're the prince of modern science. You forget that stuff you learned. Hope you don't pop.
I do.
Hananiah means God has been gracious. They want him to forget that God's been gracious. Change him to Shadrach, servant of sin. Sin's the name of their moon god. You're the servant of everything that happens under a full moon. That's a bad name, brother.
Hey.
You two, can you stay up a minute? I ain't lining up dominoes. Michelle, who is equal to God? Your very name means ain't nothing like him. They're going to try and rob that of you. Now your name is the shadow of a prince. You're to follow their king everywhere he goes. Azariah, his name means God has helped. You'll change it to Abednego. That means servant of Ishtar. Ishtar is their female goddess of sex and war. They want you to forget that. They want you to forget that God has helped. They want you to serve that wicked thing. That's your names. So everywhere you go, could you imagine, it's like rubbing salt. Your body's been mutilated. And here you go walking, and publicly nobody can call you by your name that glorifies God. Everywhere you go, they call you that. They took everything from them. Or they thought they did. You young folks back there, by the way, Beagle Club, heads rose in highways, go get them. They took their health. They took their future. They took their dreams, what they wanted to be as young men. They took their wealth. They took them from their mom and dads. Took them from their siblings. They took everything from them, but there's one thing he couldn't take. You can't take it if it ain't yours. Old Daniel done gave it to somebody else. They wanted him to bow that heart to the king Nebuchadnezzar, but he done given that heart to somebody else. Somebody that can't lose it. Somebody that can't drop it. They can take his name. They can take his ID. They can take everything, but they can't take what belongs to God. He purposed his heart. You may be seated, gentlemen. Purposed in his heart. He said, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. With the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I don't know if he's sitting at the chow table in that eunuch college and he said, I wish there was something we could do for the Lord. I can't even go by my name. What can we do for the Lord? They set that meat down in front of him. He said, I wonder if we could get some godly groceries. We ain't got much to pick from. It's suitable for a saint around here. He said, well, that whatever it was, that cabbage or greens or whatever it is, some kind of veggies. He says, that don't look too vulgar. How about that? He says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servant, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine which they should drink and gave them pulse. He changed the dietary plan for the whole college. Where can I serve God in this limited space? I could at least do it. They claim this body's theirs. That ain't what the Bible says. He said they might have tore the walls up. They might have damaged it. But it's still his. If I can control what goes in it. Hey, believe it or not, I know I'm fat as I'll get out. I seen some brethren this morning earlier. I eat Mexican food first time in several months. We've seen Brother Cody Jones before he went to work. Seen an old brother. He said, boy, you got fat up there, didn't you? That wasn't Brother Cody. It's somebody else. I mean, what, thank you. I said, well, all I got's God and groceries. So guess what's up? Believe it or not, I've been trying, but I built this with a spoon. It ain't going to go down that quick. I built it pretty good. It's got 6x6 walls. Anyhow, thank you, brother. But believe it or not, this belongs to God.
Amen.
That's another thing that bothers me. I ain't been taking good care of it. I don't know how long he's going to let me preach. But I won't preach as long as he'll let me. I want the deciding factor to be him, not me. If you're raising a godly family, you want to influence that family as long as you can. Everybody here got a ministry. Ministry is just a fancy way of saying servant. Everybody here serves somebody. He said, I can at least, hey, they might think they own this body and give it a new name, but it belongs to God. He said, I'm going to control what goes in it. You think I can get them to change what we eat? He said, I'm going to try. Don't know till you try. First guy he goes to, no, ain't happening, man. They'll take my head. But he had faith. God, first door God opened since he had a purposed heart was access to a fellow that liked him. Yeah, well, I don't know, man. 10 days is all I'm asking. I can't get too out of shape in 10 days. Let me do 10 days. Okay, fine. He did what he could for the Lord in the space he had. And God honored it. God honored it. God honored it. Changed the whole diet for the whole place. Purposed in his heart. That looks like a little door. And he just wanted to do it to be right as it could be with God where he was at. And it goes on to say, let me see, lost my place. Thank you. He said, Melzor, let's see, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. These four fellas said, they can do all this. I'm still belonging to God. And God would begin to bless their minds and their skills. You know, God can control what you're able to do.
That's good.
Believe it or not, youngins, I think it helps to pray before tests. There's been a lot of answers I didn't think no way I'd remember. God let it come back to mind. I believe if you let him, God don't just affect preaching. He'll affect everything you do. I know he keeps my daddy going up and down the road, them safety miles. You can't drive out here and think that's a coincidence anymore. God keeping him. God is changing the patterns, the twos and the fros. Hey, he can infect and influence everything about you, even your understanding and your ability. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
He can make preachers out of some of us. You believe that?
Hey.
Why on earth are you doing out of me?
That's it.
He gave them special knowledge and skill.
Right.
He made them shine at that public college. Yeah. Wasn't going to Bible college.
No.
They weren't going to a Christian school. They were in the worst of the worst. They were probably having to learn wicked things to be successful in that wicked country. They're learning everything that would please a king.
Uh-huh.
How to be the best servant to wicked nobility. God's blessing them. If it's cooking omelets for them, they're good at flipping omelets. If it's how they like their bed made, is that whatever it was that'd make a good servant. And it goes on to say, now at the end of the days, at the end of the 3 years, the king was going to show up and basically pick out his own servants, the best of them, the king of Babylon. It said, now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Look at this right here, youngins. You're out there. I hope you ain't dodging church because you think school takes priority. Look right here at this right here, what God did for these fellas. It says, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in, not just in college with them, in all his realm. Amen. And Daniel continued even to the first year of King Cyrus. Right out in chapter number 1, God wants us to know he's going to be prospering the next 70 years, right-hand man to whatever king was on the throne. How about that? Their walk with God. God would touch that gray matter, this old bound for the grave brains. God would touch it, and they'd be 10 times better than anybody in the kingdom. Church can affect your grades, amen. Think if I don't get this study time in, I'll pass. It didn't take me long to figure out staying up all night. I did worse than if I had half of it in and went to bed. I'd rather have a sharp mind and try and figure it out on the fly than think I'm going to hold on to it with 3 Red Bulls at 2 in the morning. I'd rather get a good prayer in than a good study session. And I'm talking about public school, amen. Oh, that holy God, he makes sure the sparrows get their worms. You think he won't help you? I don't care if you're in nursing school or mechanic school or welding. God can make you make the finest row of dimes in that weld shop. God did that for them because they purposed in their heart. He didn't have to, and they didn't know he was going to. They just wanted to please God. I don't even know what time it is. Huh? Okay. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep break from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans, and all these men are going to try to answer his dreams. And nobody's getting it right, and he starts getting mad and agitated. And he finally says, ever by all these smart boys I put to college, ever astrologer, ever magician, ever servant is going to hit the grave if somebody don't tell me my dream. I want to fast forward to where he gets to Daniel. Hang on just a second. I should have marked it. And it says in verse 13 of chapter 2, let's go to chapter 12, for this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. The headsman is coming for these old boys, especially all the wise men. King's mad. Thinks he sent y'all to college for nothing. That's a bad, You think it's like I made his bed right, got his groceries right, his food was hot, his coffee's right temperature, right amount of sugar, cream. Tell me what I dreamed. If you don't tell me, I'm going to have you killed. That's strict. That's how he was. I guess he thought there's more where they come from. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the king the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would give him and that he would show the king the interpretation, showing confidence in God. Well, if I'm going to live, I already belong to God. If I die, I'm going to die belonging to God. He said, "I'll make it known to you." Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. He walked in and said, "Boys, we got to pray or we're going to die." That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. God had done everybody else. See, they weren't the only ones in that school. Anybody that had any use at all got marched out of Jerusalem. And many of the royal families, they went with the flow. They went well with what's popular. But these four men said, "I ain't going with that mess. I ain't going with that mess." Everybody else was doing whatever. They said, "I ain't going with it." Daniel. They'd call them names on the street. But these young men held on to Daniel, said, "God is still going to judge me. God is my judge. I'm still going to stand before him one day. He's going to judge me. I'm more worried about him than I am them." Then the next one, "God has been gracious." He said, "He's still good. Even after I've been hurt and wounded and these things, he's still good. He's still good." The other one, "Oh, Michelle, still asking who's equal to God. Who's equal to God?" You know, he had to learn about all them other gods. He's sitting there saying their names, telling them what they want to hear. And he said, "They're going to bow. They're going to bow. They're going to bow. They're going to bow." You didn't even know. You thought Brother Vinoy's knee popped. Wait till you hear old Buddha's brass knees bend. Amen. Amen. And oh, Azariah, "God's still helping. God's still helping. He ain't done helping." They held on to it, see. When they shake you, and you will be shaken, oldens and youngins, you hold on to him. You hold on to him. So here they are. They said, "We got to pray or we're going to die." So they got down that night of praying. Eventually, old Daniel would go to bed trusting the Lord. It says, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven." He woke up and said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You don't have to, but you're going to let me keep my head. I wasn't worried about it anyways. I'd be looking at..." Well, I guess he'd go to paradise, but he knew one day he'd be looking at him. Amen. And one day he'd get a new body. Complete whole. You know, a whole body has more value if you've lost part of yours. Worse, he didn't lose it to cancer. He didn't lose it to an injury. It was took from him by the enemy. And he just thanking the Lord. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, He ain't seen his daddy in years. But he knows his God has seen him. Who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore David went in there unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. That's some witnessing right there.
Yeah.
See, they're the only ones that worship God. Everybody else went with the crowd. I might win some of them if I can save their head. I might point some of them old boys to Jesus if I halt the headsman's axe for them and us. He went to the headsman. He said, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. He's hoping there's the wise men going to wise up. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king. And I will show unto the king the interpretation. I'm not going through all the interpretation. That's not the focus tonight. But at the end of that interpretation, the king realized he's right. The king's going to say this. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell, verse 46, chapter 2, fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. He still ain't getting it. He's worshiping, right now he's worshiping the man and not Jesus. But you know, in the next chapter, he figures it out. But he's getting witness to today. You know what boldness it takes to tell the king about the one God he won't bow to? The God that you were commanded to forget. He's going to tell him about him. Said the king answered, he was going to die anyways. Might as well go out telling the king who Jesus is. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of God. Let's see. Let me back up just a little bit. Okay. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. In this chapter, earlier in it, I'm not going to go back and hunt for it. He said his God, there's a God that reveals secrets.
Yeah.
A God, he tried the others. He ain't tried the right one. He realized, boy, your God's got something.
Dang.
He still ain't getting it real good. The next chapter is when he makes everybody bow to the idols, and them other four, they get put, to, or the other three get put to the test. That's where he lays eyes on him. After that day, he worships the Lord. I want to show you something real special, and we're getting real close to done. I'm going to turn back. So when Jeremiah was a prophet assigned to Jehoiakim, he was telling everybody, you might as well turn to Babylon, God's servant Nebuchadnezzar. He hadn't got saved yet. Chapter 3, I'm not sure if he trusts the Lord in chapter 3 or if he trusts the Lord after God makes him like eating grass and his hair like eagle feathers. But somewhere down the line, he trusts Jesus. So if you want to worship God on the globe at that time, you go to Babylon. If you want to go to church, Babylon was the country to do it. Ain't that good? And Daniel's going to be second command through multiple kings. He's going to, Belshazzar, most likely this Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, he don't accept the Lord. But another man comes in that night he got witness to, I think Darius. He's going to end up realizing God is God. And then all the way into Cyrus. All the way to Cyrus. So Daniel, being the number one man and introducing the whole kingdom to Jesus, he's going to be responsible for multiple kingdoms openly knowing the Lord. So Daniel's over there working because he was in that first march out of Jerusalem. And back here, Jeremiah's preaching on the streets for a while. And old Jehoiakim, I'm going to turn to Chronicles chapter 36. And Jehoiakim, his granddaddy was Josiah, who died facing the Egyptian king. And then his daddy was removed from the throne by the same Egyptian king and his brother put in his place. That's in verse 4 of 2 Chronicles 36. 2 Chronicles 36, 4. The king of Egypt made Eliakim, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem, and turned his name to Jehoiakim. And Necho took Jehoahaz, his brother, and carried him to Egypt. So Jehoiakim is on the throne, and he's the one that's on the throne when Nebuchadnezzar shows up. It says, verse 5, Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried other vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in his temple at Babylon. That's when he was lost, and that's the same occurrence when Daniel got marched out with all them, and he got castrated and put in the college to be a servant. And at some point in the next few years, he's going to be elevated, be the number two man. Remember, in Josiah's day, which was the grandfather of this king, Josiah found a Bible and set the kingdom straight.
Yeah.
They were almost out of Bibles. And now the Bible and all the other treasures just went to Babylon. Praise God, God's got a number two man to keep the Bible intact. Amen. I like it. And then he said, now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and his abominations which he did, and that which was found in him, behold, they are written in the book of the Kings. So we're going to go on down. His son Jehoiachin he's going to be marched out there. I'm looking for a certain verse. So they put King Nebuchadnezzar puts a young man on the throne of Judah. And his name, so verse 10 says, and when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord, and made Zedekiah, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem. Now, I'm not sure if Zedekiah is another of the brothers there, all three brothers, or if it's related to Nebuchadnezzar. I'd have to study more. But Zedekiah is now on the throne. So he marched out these kings, who are all brothers. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. This whole time they're not doing right. They've got a preacher. And Daniel's over there being a servant, and God's using him. So this last king of Judah is refusing to get right. And it says, and he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar. Look right here. This is what's so precious. Who had made him swear by God. Not a little g. The big one. Who had made him swear by God that he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. So in that gap of these brothers that would all be kings and every one of them not do right, Daniel's over here witnessing to King Nebuchadnezzar. He gonna get saved. And he gonna send to the state, the country he conquered, and said, you straighten up and rule it right by God, or we're gonna wipe you off the face of the planet. And this line of Judah, bloodline of Judah, said, we're gonna be wicked. They just kept doing their wicked. They had Jeremiah preaching to them, a king that was on God's side. And he says, fine. And this is 9 years after Daniel was marched out, is when they utterly destroyed the walls and the temple and everything. God had him do it. You can see that under Jeremiah. He did it because God had him do it. Just like Shiloh is what Jeremiah preached. If you don't straighten up, God's going to wipe it off the face of the map like Shiloh. You can read that in Jeremiah 25 through 27. So Nebuchadnezzar, doing as God wanted, trying to get them to straighten up and act right in front of God, God's own people, and they wouldn't. So he wiped them off the map. I'm glad the story don't end there. He's minding God when he's done that. But everybody had a place to come. And it was open. You could, after them old boys stood up for the Lord, anybody could worship God in Babylon. Ain't that good? Yeah. And then you say, what about them strangers? Darius come in. Well, even before that, it shifted to the son or grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, who did not believe. But God took him out, brought in Darius, and he trusted God. Took old, I think it's Darius that they threw old Daniel in the lion's den. Don't matter how long you've been saved, you're still going to be tested. He's like a 90-year-old man. They come down there, that old man's praying again. They finally throw him in the den full of lions.
Guilty.
Her daddy tells me a funny story. Some old preacher sometime or another pulled a lie. He said, Daniel probably pulled and scooched old Leo over and fluffed him up and settled down. Papa got tickled. 90-year-old man throwing him in the lion's den. You ain't intimidated by him, are you? If you heard him pray, I bet you would be. He was still alive when Cyrus would take the throne, and then they'd come back and rebuild it. Actually, it'd start getting rebuilt before then. But Daniel was the number two man all them years. And so I got one last thing, and we're done. I wished I could quote the verse. Says, he that winneth souls is wise, and the fruit of righteousness is as a tree. Just say it loud.
The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise.
Thank you. I couldn't get it to come out. So he that winneth souls is wise. Turn with me to Daniel 12, and we're going to wrap up. So, I recently had a guest at church. He's come every Sunday the last month. It's one of my men. So, two Christmases ago, I preached a Christmas message. I went in for a Wednesday night. The men have their own service on Wednesday nights. But I come out just to make it seem special for Christmas. Two Christmases ago. And I preached how to open God's Christmas present for you. And it's basically a very, very plain plan of salvation. How to open what He has for you. How to get saved. And nobody moved that night, but I knew I minded God. A little while later, one of my men's mother would die. And I went to console him. I heard she was bad. The men will get word to me, such and such. Mama's not doing good. And he come to church pretty often in prison. I went to see him. He said he was crying, but he was smiling too. And he said, I told her she didn't have to worry no more about me. She had, I think, lung cancer and couldn't talk, but had to talk with a machine and somebody would read it to him. He said, I told her I was going where she's going. She don't have to worry about me no more. I said, well, when did you get saved? He said, well, you was there. I said, I was. He said, that night you preached before Christmas, I got saved that night. I said, you did? And he said, yeah. I said, well, praise the Lord. Hey. And before he got out, I met with him and I wrote down some good churches. They're very scarce in Alaska. Very scarce. There's probably 20 fundamental churches in all of Alaska. You got to remember that's a third of the lower 48, 20 churches that preach that Bible. But anyhow, he got out of prison. Oh, they get out all the time. But he showed up at church. He said, I just moved here yesterday, 5 minutes away. He'd been to every service. Made me feel bad. I missed Sunday school one day and he was there. He was there when the place opened. He's the first one there. Pastor said they show up a lot during the singing. Said, we're coming. But he said he ain't missed a Sunday since he got out. He went to a church down in Anchorage where he was released, got baptized. And I told him, you ever come to church with me, you can sit right next to me. So he sits next to me every service. Well, if he drops the ball and lets you down, it happens. I might drop the ball and let him down. God, that's right. I wouldn't do it on purpose. I'm just saying, I'm dirt, he's dirt. You're dirt too. Neener, neener. But he sits right next to me. Sort of got happy the other day. I thought, well, Paul had Timothy. I said, I got him. Sitting on the front pew of every service. I said, well, there's a little fruit I know that stuck. Stuck enough to make him go to church when he got out.
Hallelujah.
He said, you got to take him with you. You can't leave him there. He's growing. Give him a good Bible the other day. The one he had, the print was so small, had like 6 chapters on 1 page. I was over there like, how? He kept doing this. I was like, ain't no wonder, man. I got him one he could get a hold of, leather, good one. Right here, Daniel tells us in chapter 12, verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. What makes you wise? He that winneth souls is wise. So if you've won a few, and I've probably said this before from here, I preach it a lot. I preach to my men a lot. We know that in New Jerusalem, in the new world, Christ will be the light of that city. There'll be none brighter. But based on how many souls you've turned to Christ is how brightly you will shine. It says, they that be wise shall shine as the firmament. The firmament is our atmosphere. If you was on the moon looking at the earth, it'd have a glow to it, reflecting the light of the sun. It'd have some light. So if you want a few souls, when we get them new bodies in New Jerusalem and I look over, you'll have glow to you if you've led folks to Christ. And then it says, they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. Ain't that what it says? Forever and ever. So if you want a lot of people to the Lord, you're going to shine like a star, which is its own sun. Nobody's going to outshine Christ.
No.
As a matter of fact, how bright you shine is just a reflection of how close you are to Him. So if you want to, old brother Paul, Apostle Paul, is going to look like he's over there welding. At least I might have a little glow, amen. Old Daniel, a broken boy with a big God, never got to have his own kids. He was robbed of fleshly children. There's going to be a lot of Babylonian saints. And then Mede saints. Wasn't Darius a Mede? And then whoever's after him. All these Middle Eastern saints from those 70 years. A whole country had to turn to God because he took it serious when Nebuchadnezzar got right. Starting with you'll see, you might even see a glowing fella and say, what's your name? Nebuchadnezzar. He never got to have no physical children, but he had countless spiritual children. A whole section of heaven might be stars of his unit there. I can't explain all that, but I believe it's true because my Bible says it. That broken boy had a big God.
Yeah.
And he kept his heart ready for when a door opened. And God opened some important doors that changed the whole country.
Yeah,
I believe, don't you reckon him being number two man, let him go back, that helped him go back? Being number two man preserved the Bible. Well, even when Jesus was born, and those eastern countries had faded away by the time Jesus come, there was a few that still believed their Bible.
Yeah.
And they followed a star. Since he was 10 times smarter than the best astrologer in the kingdom, I reckon he taught about a certain star coming. Somebody took that lesson to heart, amen. And it lasted for hundreds of years. That's my message tonight. Big God for a broken boy. It don't matter what you've lost. He's still a big God. And you don't know what door is opening tomorrow. So keep your heart clean. So nothing worse than him ready to do something for you and you not ready to do it. I don't know how to end, preacher. You end. I'm done.